Can you give me some relief?
And welcome to episode 50 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by Brynerys Stormborn of House Stuyvesant, the 37th of his name, king of socks and sandals and the oiled men, protector of fresh fruit coffee, the father of baseball caps, the Khaleesi of the neighborhood bodega, the usually burnt, the breaker of balls, Brian. Brian, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm going to say this to you. I'm doing much better after that introduction.
You know what? Kudos to you. Give your full formal name, but I felt you earned it this week.
Thank you very much, and I'll explain to you exactly why that touches me so much. Because I would say 4 months ago, had you sat there and reeled off my proper title, I would have been in a position where I would have no idea what the heck you're talking about. However, when they announced that the final date of Game of Thrones, not only did I immediately go full chub, but I sat there and said, listen, if there was a time where I'm going to watch an episode of Game of Thrones, now's the time to do it. So I would say starting mid-January, I started pumping out, much like a street dog in heat. I was popping them out maybe two episodes at a time, got caught up. I now understand exactly where we are with Game of Thrones. I understand I'm on board 100%. So it brings the love. Can you? It brings the love.
There's a little tear in your eye, I think.
Yes.
Well, we'll be talking a little bit more Game of Thrones later in this episode. But as always, we start off with Drink of the Week. Again, thanks to listener Jocelyn for some suggestions. We had the tequila limeade going up against the tequila Oasis. Tequila limeade won it in a squeaker. Just a couple of votes put it up over the top. I'm actually looking forward to this drink because I am a tequila man. How'd your limeade turn out there, Brian?
It turned out well. See, I used to be a big fan of tequila. Now I'm a fan of Tequila Mockingbird.
Oh, you little saucy devil, you. So what tequila are you using tonight?
I went with the Jose Cuervo Especial Blue Agave Silver Tequila.
All right, and I went Maestro Doble Black Diamond Tequila. So it's a couple shots of that, 4 ounces of limeade, some mint leaves, shaken, and then you just top it off with a little bit of seltzer. Let me see how this goes down here.
You look like you got a nice... Did you put the sprig of cilantro at the top?
I did not. It's not bad.
But that's not a ringing endorsement.
It's much it's much more mild than I anticipated it would be. Give it a sip. See how yours turned out.
Hold on.
I mean, it's good. It's refreshing.
See, this would be a better drink to have outdoors, summer weekend, your day drinking. You're planning on ordering Domino's at about 5:45. You may try and throw a move on your groundskeeper, you know, because, you know, he's out on his hands and knees putting in the perennials, you know, and two of these. I think this could be a very refreshing drink if it were on ice and something that you could sip over a few hours.
So it's a little early in the season for this, but definitely one maybe we can revisit later in the summertime.
Yeah, I don't know that I would make this if I were sitting at home. But basically, we've got it's the cilantro, I think, which is throwing me off in this.
See, I wouldn't have gone cilantro. My recipe said to garnish it with some lime, but I didn't want to waste the lime.
I don't blame you.
But maybe maybe a little spritz of lime would have helped this a bit.
Quite possible. Quite possible. But I'm going to drink this. Now, what are you backing this up with? Here's the real question.
Today, I'm actually just backing this up with water.
Because you are a gigantic disappointment to me. I'm going Pennsylvania White Trash, Yuengling Lager.
The oldest brewery in the United States, my friend. It's a good call.
which weird because it was mentioned to me recently that Yuengling is a white nationalist beer.
I was not aware of that.
Somebody called me out. Somebody was saying like, oh, you know, that's the favorite drink of the white nationalists in America. I'm like, what? I thought I didn't even have a comeback for that.
I would have assumed Keystone Light, but who am I to say?
Yeah. Come on. Anyway. I give the white nationalists a little bit more credit than drinking Keystone.
All right. Well, as always, we love your suggestions for Drink of the Week. So hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or via the website, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Give us some suggestions. People seem to like the idea of having a theme week. We did martini last week. We did tequila this week. Should we go any particular alcohol that we should be asking for drinks for next week?
Well, I feel like we've done vodka a lot. We maybe rum. We haven't had rum in a while.
We haven't really done a rum drink. So why don't you give us some rum drink suggestions? Hit us up. Let us know. We'll put the poll up on Facebook, on Twitter, and we'll see what we're drinking next week. For episode 51, as we get closer to our one-year anniversary, which we've got some surprises in store for that one, but you've got a couple of weeks to wait on that. In the meantime, let's check out This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
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 Racism. All right, we've got
racism.
Our second four-time winner of the year, Corinne Tyrone, knocked off Taco Truck Tammy 67% to 33%. It was a tight neck-and-neck race for most of the week. Corinne put the gas on at the end, like a true champion, like the champ that she is, pulls it out for her fourth win. That means she is now retired. She will. She gets her number one seed at the year-end Racism Madness Tournament. And that means we need to look for two new competitors this week. So we were scouring the internet. We came across Columbia University, where six campus police officers are on administrative leave after pinning down a black student who did not show his student ID card. Other students recorded the officers restraining Alexander McNabb, and then taking his ID off of him and trying to get him to leave the building while they checked to see if he was an active student. McNabb claims that this is the third time he has been harassed by campus security, and the university has pledged to conduct a thorough investigation on the incident. Moving over to Wisconsin, a gym teacher at Shorewood Intermediate School was put on leave after separating seventh grade students based on their race and then asking the black students to find out what games slaves played. After parents found out, they complained to the school district, who put the teacher on leave and have opened an investigation. Going down south to Greenwood, South Carolina, Brandon Corey LaCroix was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison after attempting to hire the Ku Klux Klan to kill his black neighbor. FBI agents had arrested LaCroix after they received a tip when he reached out to an unidentified white supremacist organization. His defense attorney had tried to paint LaCroix as the victim, stating that he felt threatened by his neighbor and said, quote, "Brandon called the KKK because who else was he going to call? It had nothing to do with the color of his skin." The judge disagreed and gave LaCroix the maximum sentence. But our first of two competitors this week, we go out to California, out to Glendora, California, to be exact, where an electrician doing contract work for Southern California Edison asked a woman to move her car to another spot in a Walmart parking lot so he could park his truck. She instead called the police and went on a racist rant that the electrician filmed. She went on for quite a while, but here's a little snippet of what went down.
"I'm gonna block this fucker's truck that doesn't belong in Glendora. Who are you? Who's this motherfucker that doesn't belong? Do you have a green card?
He works with those guys over there.
No. I don't know who this guy is.
He works with
How do you
those
know?
Guys over there.
You know who he is?
He works with those guys over there.
He came out of the bushes.
He works with those guys
Who's
on the
those
corner.
Guys? Is it the railroad company?
ILB, International Line.
Okay, I don't know this. Videotaping me, and he looks creepy for Mexico. He's speaking broken English, low English.
Okay, that's super racist.
It's not racist.
It is racist.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I have a friend down the street. No, it's not.
People
no, I see a guy beat up.
Racist.
No, it's not racist.
Yes, it
My
is.
Dad is black, my dad is black. I'm not racist. This guy's from Mexico. They pump people and they fucking don't know everybody's goddamn illegal shit. You understand?
Yeah.
And my dad's black. Don't call me racist, asshole.
My family works long.
Oh, okay. So what? I want to make sure this guy's legit. I don't want him punking some DVD punking your fucking job, taking your fucking outfit, working to get paperwork. I have all my paperwork over here. My dad's black, asshole. My dad's fucking black. It's not racist, stupid. Don't tell me I'm racist because he's Mexican. My little nephew's Italian, Mexican, and Aloha.
Italian, Mexican, and Aloha. Her nephew is. Anyway,
but I thought she said her father was black.
Her father was black, and her nephew is Aloha.
Listen, I think that you've got to throw in the towel when you're standing there using the fact that your relatives are minorities to defend yourself. When you're being called out on racism, and your response is not "I wasn't being racist," but "I can't be racist because I have a relative that's a minority," I'm thinking you're pretty much saying, I admit it, I was just being a little racist.
I was pretty damn racist.
Yeah, she is pretty racist, though.
She has not yet been identified, but the internet is referring to her as Walmart Wendy. So we'll go with that name for this upcoming week.
We'll take it.
But she has some stiff competition. This one just coming in today from Friendswood, Texas. A gentleman by the name of Joey Derrick, who was at a DirecTV store when he started to verbally harass one of the clerks. A customer filmed the interaction and also called the police, and we have that audio here as well.
So your boss, Ryan, what's your name?
Mo.
Yes, sir. What the fuck kind of name is that? What's your actual real name?
Mohammed.
Mo what?
It's Mohammed.
Fucking Arab. Goddamn fucking Arabs.
All right, you know what?
You know what? I really don't give a fuck what some bitch has to say. I really don't give a shit about some goddamn Arab that I've been killing their goddamn kind for fucking 6 months. Almost two, actually,
super nice.
2 years. 6 months on the last country I was in. Because people like this, the reason our country is going what it's going to. Because I've been killing his kind for longer than you've probably been alive.
I'm older than you do.
How old do you think you are? How old do I think I am?
I'm 55 years old.
That's cute.
Okay.
His kind? I've been killing for almost 20 years. I've been on 5 different continents. Hence the reason he brought his uncle to come handle shit for him.
Well, you.
I really don't give a shit about some little peon Arab who actually doesn't belong here.
We were in line first. We were actually trying to get service.
Oh, sweetie, you're fine. I thought you worked here.
Okay. And I called the police.
That's fine.
So the police arrived while Derek was still at the store and arrested him. He has been charged with 1 count of public intoxication, shocking, and 1 count of disorderly conduct. No?
He sounded flamingly racist, but I wouldn't say that he was sounded drunk. And would you describe him as drunk?
I guess maybe because I saw the video, it seemed like a little unsteady.
Whoa, slow your roll. You passive-aggressive bastard. That's because I saw the video, which is implying that you are putting more of an effort into this podcast than I am.
I mean, I'm not implying it.
I'm going to flip the script on your ass and tell you that I watched the video when you sent me the link earlier today.
Oh, my apologies. And your thoughts?
I didn't think he was racist. Right. I thought that he was just stridently racist.
All right.
While at an AT&T store, which right off the bat throws into question his good judgment.
Well, thankfully, we also had the internet out there to do a quick search of his Facebook page, which shows that he liked pages related to Confederate groups, as well as the right-wing Oath Keepers militia and the Confederate neo-Nazi Peckerwood prison gang.
Oh.
On a side note, also a fan of Larry the Cable Guy.
Get out of here.
Not saying there's a correlation.
What are we calling
there.
Him? What's that? What are we calling this guy?
Just Joey Derrick. We got his name, so
okay.
It'll be Joey Derrick going up against Walmart Wendy in this week in racism. So again, check out the Facebook page or the Twitter page. You can vote on either or both. We're not really paying attention, but let's find out who our next winner is going to be for this upcoming week. Any predictions for this coming week, Brian?
I think Joey Derrick is he's going to be a hard one to top this week. Not a clear, obvious one. I think Walmart Wendy's bringing a lot to the table here. Her brand of racism, less obvious. However, I think it's important, and I think it's a true sign of racism when you are in utter denial about the level of racism you've just exhibited and instead start clinging to your bona fides, which you almost got a sense that that Walmart Wendy was just sliding through a tunnel at a water park, trying to hold on for a dear life, because she was throwing out races that people don't even use anymore as slang, like out of nowhere, a Hawaiian. I'm sorry, but I haven't heard a lot of people say negative things about Hawaiians lately.
But she didn't even say Hawaiian. She said aloha.
Oh, aloha. There you go. So that was an implied reference to Hawaii. I think Joey Derek is bringing a lot. I mean, first off, he is stridently racist. This man is standing on firm ground. Then he starts throwing in the military claims, which may or may not be true. I'm unaware, haven't researched Joey Derek yet. But when he starts talking about going off and fighting wars and poor Muhammad, who's working in an AT&T store trying to upgrade people to the insurance package, and he's got to put up with pieces of shit like Joey Derek, who's sitting there screaming about... and do they say what the argument was about?
I guess I believe it started because his nephew was in the store wanting to activate a phone or something along those lines, but didn't have the proper ID. So they were like, you know, you need a proper photo ID so we can run a credit check to activate the phone. And so if you watch some of the video from earlier, prior to that clip that we played, you know, the guy was like, well, you had an issue with your nephew. He may have an issue with my nephew, and now you got an issue with me, and no one likes me because I take care of business. So he was just angry from the get-go.
So his real anger, is at AT&T and their corporate policies, not poor Muhammad, who's just standing there, the face of the company, saying, I can't activate your phone unless you meet these requirements of my corporate overlords.
And I guess Muhammad wouldn't call the manager either.
Right. So instead, well, maybe Muhammad was the manager. Maybe that was a little racism on your part, Ron.
No. Muhammad gave the manager's name of the store. But he was like, you know, I'm not able to call the manager, sir, and this is just, sir, this is how it goes.
Well, how is Joey going to call the manager if his phone's not activated?
It's just a paradox. It's just the man trying to keep Joey down.
No wonder he's so angry. But it seems to me like Joey's real anger here, other than the bottle and maybe the pills, we don't know yet, is at AT&T's corporate policies, not poor Muhammad. And this is why I have never worked a customer service front-facing role in my entire life, because I would be filled with rage and murderous tendencies.
All right, probably a good idea that you keep down that path.
Absolutely. I'm more of a back office kind of man.
All right. Shall we move along?
That's what my priest used to tell me when I was a kid.
Hey.
All right. Let's go.
Time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
So what's bothering me this week, Brian?
Public bathrooms and humans' behavior in those public bathrooms.
All right, go on.
All righty. As you know, I am a man about town. I am someone who prides himself on being on the move quite often. One of the things that causes me to do is have to take frequent urination breaks when I'm out in public. As any true New Yorker knows, the thing to do is visit hotels and use their public bathrooms.
It's a wise call.
They've got to keep them clean. Sometimes you do not have that as an option. In the past week, I found myself walking into the bathroom at Grand Central Station, which was, I would say now, probably rivals what Port Authority was back in the day in terms of cleanliness of a public bathroom. And while I was afraid to put my feet anywhere near the urinal, I actually made the call that my hands would be cleaner if I just walked out without washing them and used hand sanitizer than washing my hands.
That's a good audible.
I just thought, you know, the odds were in my favor on that one. And then something that hit me again later on in the day was I visited the bathroom in my office building, and even the bathroom there was disgusting at the end of the day. There was the bathroom has one urinal and two bathroom stalls. Now, the bathroom stalls had toilet paper on the floor. So this was clearly a case of a guy wiping his ass and missing when he went to throw the toilet paper there. Or he was using to layer the toilet and just didn't have the common decency to pick up the toilet paper after it hit the floor and put it into the toilet when he was flushing. The urinal had literally a horseshoe of urine drips all around the urinal. It reminds me of a conversation I've had with female friends over the course of my adult life, where they talk about how the women's bathrooms are even more disgusting than the men's, because in the women's room, they're all too afraid to sit down, so they squat, which causes them to spray and miss. And what upset me was, we have this standard that our public bathrooms be kept clean, and we bemoan the fact that they're not cleaned and maintained. But it is us who are the users of the bathroom, and we're the ones that are making it dirty. We're just not cleaning up after ourselves. So we're the pigs, and yet we want to blame it on the system or the man. But really, we should be blaming ourselves for not cleaning up after ourselves when using public bathrooms.
Well, I will
say that's my beef.
One of the things I like about where I work is I have my own bathroom in my office.
You mean there's an official Ron bathroom?
There is an official Ron bathroom in Ron's office.
How did I not? How is this the first I've heard of this?
I have no idea. I'm not sure, quite sure how you're just hearing about
this. So you come in the morning, you open your office door,
right?
Ron's desk, Ron's chair.
Well, more I open the door, walk in, bathroom's right there to the right.
So they basically are saying, before you sit down, we want you to evacuate yourself.
It's basically a converted hotel room that's an office. So walk in, bathroom, closet on the left, main area where my desk and everything is.
Now, do you get the pay-per-view movies on the TV in your office or no?
I have not gotten a TV in my office as of yet.
But it's an option.
Still angling for that.
Okay.
Interesting. So my beef, I got kind of a twofer because I got two minor beefs this week. First one is spring colds, which I came down with over this past weekend. Just horrible when it's nice out and your head is filled up and you're just snotty and coughing and wheezing and everything else.
Wheezy.
And my second is acne. I'm a 48-year-old man. Why am I still getting pimples, Brian? It is the most aggravating thing. And to top it all off, I got one this week on my nose right where my glasses sit on. Incredibly painful.
Now, could these two things be related? A cold and a zit says to me your immune system is poor.
It's very
and
possible.
Therefore it is becoming susceptible to invaders, dirt, whatnot, things that your body normally would be able to have the antibodies to reject. Let me ask you something. Did you have the measles vaccination?
Years ago, yes.
So you're not coming down with one of these anti-vax measles outbreaks?
I don't believe so. I mean, my only other symptoms, my left arm is tingling and I taste pennies.
Well, I'm going to say that you may want to go to a primary care physician and sit down and say, Doc, what the fuck?
Well, I will, after we do this, we got to get through this podcast first.
Oh, I didn't mean right now. I was thinking maybe in about 20 minutes we could just take a break.
Yeah, priorities. So moving on, we've got, we talked about Game of Thrones a bit at the top of the show. We've got this Game of Thrones pool that I'm sure a lot of you folks have seen out there, where we take the characters and we're going to predict if they will be alive or dead by the end of the season, and if not, if they're dead, if they're going to become a White Walker, if they're going to be resurrected. Brian, you have your picks. You ready to go through this?
I have my picks.
Do
I have my picks.
Do you want to go top to bottom or bottom to top? I think we should go minor characters up to the major characters.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you something. When I was going through my homosexual phase, I like to go top to bottom. Since I have decided that I'm more entertained by the female body over the male, I say, let's go top to bottom.
Top to bottom. Okay.
Absolutely.
So we'll start with Jon Snow then.
Fucker dies.
Really? See, I'm going, dies. I'm going Jon Snow alive.
Okay, just he lives?
Yes.
What's your logic there? Oh, I know why. Because you're a Disney. You like happy ending.
No, I don't think it'll be a happy ending, and we'll get to that when we get further down the list. I'm going to give you my theory when we get to another character here shortly.
Okay.
So Sansa Stark?
Lives.
I got her living as well.
Okay. Arya Stark.
For Jon Snow, you mentioned Jon Snow dying. Is he going to become like a white or a White Walker?
Nope, they burn him in a very cinematic scene where everyone stands around crying. Somehow, the god of light or fire, whatever the fuck it was, the god of something doesn't bring him back this time.
Okay. Arya Stark?
Lives.
Really, I got her dying.
Does she become a White Walker?
She does not. She's going to die a hero's death, is my opinion.
How so?
You know, in battle. You know, she's been a fighter the whole time, and she's going to go out, you know, fighting, is my
prediction. I was expecting more of the reunion between her and the Hound. I thought that there was going to be a little bit more than it was just, hey, you're a cold bitch. All right, let's keep going. On your way.
It's touching. Bran Stark?
Lives.
Really? I got him dying as well.
Really? Yeah. I've heard that. So you said that he's the odds-on favorite to end the show as the top dog.
He is a 10-11 favorite to end up on the Iron Throne at the end, but he's also a 2-1 favorite to die during the season.
You said that he was the Suge Knight of this bitch. I believe that's exactly the phrase you used during the show when I questioned why he was just staring at every character during this week's episode.
He was creepy as fuck. There's no doubt about it.
Really is. That little fucker's creepy.
All right, Cersei Lannister.
Dies,
and she's becoming a White Walker. That's my
favorite. Oh, our first White Walker of the season. Jaime Lannister.
This is the tough one, but I got to say he dies.
Not only does he die, he becomes a White Walker.
All right, I'm not going White Walker.
I have Cersei. I've got Cersei killing him.
Okay, all right. Tyrion Lannister.
Has to live.
Got to live. I mean, that's one you got to have. Daenerys Targaryen.
Lives.
Dies.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your logic there?
All right, so my logic here is that she has already shown that she might be a little bit crazy. Now, remember, she's the daughter.
You think? A little bit?
She's the daughter of the Mad King. She's shown a little bit of craziness, like when she burned up Samwell's dad and brother, which was one of the more uncomfortable conversations of this past week's episode.
Yes, it was. That was a great scene.
So, well, at least I can go back home. My brother's tending to the manor now.
Well, yeah. Now you mentioned that.
So now picture this. She's already shown that she can be a little bit unhinged. And now we find out that Jon Snow, who she's bumping uglies with, who she's in love with, is the rightful heir to the throne, and she's his aunt. So how do you think she's going to react? Yes.
Hold on. Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen, they bumped uglies?
Oh, yeah.
See, I didn't know that's what they were doing. I thought he was actually putting his penis inside of her vagina and then rhythmically sliding it in and out until he ejaculated his sperm inside of her body. Like, I thought that's what was going on. I had no idea they were bumping uglies.
They don't do that in Hollywood.
Get out of here. Surprised. Okay.
So think about that. She's going to realize that she's Jon Snow's aunt, so she technically can't be with him. And then she's also going to realize that he's the rightful heir to the Iron Throne that she wants. She's going to go full crazy. Jon Snow is going to have to kill her. So he lives, but he will be tormented for the rest of his life by what he has to do.
Okay. I have a question now that we mentioned it. Do you pronounce it Iron or Iron?
Iron.
But you pronounce R-O-N, Ron.
True. We'll get back to that.
See, I'm going
to
start calling you Ron.
All right.
Just Ron.
Just Ron?
Ron DMC. Yes. Keep going.
All right. Yara Greyjoy.
Now we start hitting the secondary characters.
Right.
So some of these, I'll admit, I had to look up.
All right. Yara Greyjoy.
Dies.
Really? I got her living.
Okay.
Listen,
I don't know what show you've been watching.
Someone has to. So a few people have to live. Theon Greyjoy.
Lives.
Dies.
White Walker?
No. I don't think they're going to overdo the whole transforming the dead into White Walker thing. Okay. It's just a gut feeling.
Got it. Melisandre.
She's got to die.
Which one is Melisandre?
She's the witch, the redhead, the one that brought Jon Snow back to life.
She becomes a White Walker.
Really? Okay.
Yep, I got her dying. Same thing with Jorah Mormont. I have him dying.
Yes, he will die. I have him dying. I don't think he'll become a White Walker.
He had the grayscale. Somehow he didn't die. I say he goes down. Now, what I thought was interesting, I found this out this week, is the little kid that stands up and basically bitch slaps Jon Snow in front of the entire room, questioning his relinquishment of the King of the North so that he could, as you say, pump up glees with his aunt. That kid is a Mormont.
Is he?
Yeah, they're somehow related.
Right.
I don't know how.
It's very tough to keep track of all this. All right, the Hound.
White Walker.
Okay, so he's dying. I agree with him dying, and I agree with him becoming a White Walker.
All righty. Let's do it. What about the Mountain?
This one, isn't the Mountain technically already dead? Like, we've been led to believe that he's just a zombie at this point.
Yeah, but in what form? That's really the question.
I mean, I guess he'll be fully dead at this point. I don't see him becoming a White Walker, though.
I've got him White Walkering.
All right.
Oh, no, I just have him dying. No White Walker.
All right, get your shit together.
Sorry.
Samwell Tarly?
Lives.
Gilly?
I'm very upset at picking Samwell living, because of all the characters that are still alive, that character has no business being on this list. He should have died a long time ago.
He's like Eugene in The Walking Dead. He just keeps hanging in there.
Very similar, very similar. I would describe him... I would say that Samwell Tarly is an uncooked Idaho potato.
All right. That's an interesting description.
That's the way I go with it. What about Gilly?
Gilly?
See, I'm going for a threefer. I'm saying Samwell, Gilly, and their child all live.
Oh, so disappointing.
It's
Unfortunately, you're wrong.
It's a little bit of fan service there.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Okay.
Gilly dies, but the kid lives.
All right. Lord Varys, the eunuch.
Oh, lives.
I got him living. Brienne of Tarth.
Brienne of Tarth. I've got her.
I have her dying.
I've got her living.
See, I have her dying.
Oh, no, excuse me. I do have her dying. I read off the wrong column.
All right.
You know, it's the tequila is kicking in right now.
Davos Seaworth.
Dead White Walker.
I got dead. I think he's a little too old for them to want to convert to a White Walker. Bronn.
Interesting. Okay. Oh, lives.
Bronn lives. I mean, there's no way he's made it this far. He's got to get his castle.
Yes.
Podrick Payne.
Lives.
All right.
At this point, we are hardcore Googling each character at this point, because I don't know who the fuck any of these people are. Let's a perfect example. Podrick Payne, I don't know who he is right now at this moment.
All right. How about Tormund Giantsbane?
Did you say Tormont vagina stain? Yes. Dead.
Dead. Agreed. And he will become a White Walker.
Really?
You've been very stingy
with the White Walkers.
Grey Worm?
Lives.
Dead. He's a warrior. How is he going to survive this battle? Gendry?
Wait a second. So you're saying Grey Worm dies?
Yeah, I'm saying Grey Worm dies.
Oh, okay.
Gendry?
Oof. Lives.
I'm going lives as well. Beric Dondarrion. I think that's the guy
dies.
Who's the sword lights up. Yeah, he's dying finally, because he's died like five or six times already.
Yeah, somebody's got to die.
And then lastly, Euron Greyjoy.
Lives.
Really? I'm going. I think he's got to die.
Why?
He's just a real sleazy individual, and I think I think Cersei kills him too.
But I think that he was able to this week... He was able to enjoy the fruits of his many labors. I mean, obviously, he did not bring back an elephant, which is clearly what she wanted. She wanted her fucking elephants.
Listen,
and he
was
not able to supply one.
If you want a whore, buy one. If you want a queen, and her. All right, and we've got some bonus questions here. Is Daenerys pregnant?
Yes.
I'm going no. Unnecessary plot twist. That they won't put in there.
No, I think she dies with the baby in her.
All right. Who kills the Night King?
Daenerys Targaryen.
All right, I'm going Arya and Bran.
Both of them?
Both
a two
of them.
For one?
A two for one.
Usually I have to pay extra for that.
Who holds the Iron Throne at the end?
Sansa Stark.
Really? Interesting. I'm going with the Dark Horse. I'm going with Gendry.
Gendry?
Gendry.
What makes you say that?
All right. Gendry is Robert Baratheon's bastard son. Jon Snow is the rightful heir to the throne. Jon Snow gets all mopey because he has to kill off Daenerys, swears off the throne, which then goes to the next descendant in line, which is Gendry.
But you think that it's going to be a nice, clear transfer of power. It's not going to flip families. It's just going to go along its accepted path of heritage.
I mean, there's not a lot of people that are going to be left alive at that point. So I think, you know, I think it'll be pretty cut and dried at that point.
All right.
So we will check back. I think what the final episode is like mid-May.
Something like that.
So we will check back and see how we did there. You can play along at home. Maybe we'll put this up on the Facebook page in case you guys want to complete a pool of your own. Meantime, let's talk about other things that were going on this week. The fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral, obviously big in the news. The spire collapsed. The roof collapsed. Riveting drama for those of us that
Listen,
were homesick for the day watching it.
Ron, I'm shook.
Are shook you shook?
Over. I'm shook over it. I don't know whether you know this or not, but my high school trip was to Paris.
I did not know that.
When I was in college at St. Augustine of Bethina, it was considered the high point of your high school career. Obviously, other than Father Mulcahy inviting you into his private study for some extra lessons. I mean, that was obviously the pinnacle. But we took our high school trip to Paris, and immediately I fell in love with the city. Right off the bat, walking through the airport, seeing all the people that had clearly surrendered back in 1941 to the Nazis, but somehow were managed to stay alive and are now expecting me to give them handouts of American currency, all the way through to hardened bread with a piece of cheese that somehow was going to cost me 14 euros, really pissed me off as well, all the way down to the fact that that country refused to allow our flights coming from England to fly over France on our bombing raids to blow up Libya back in 1986, I think it was, maybe 87, don't really recall quite much right now. I still say fuck the French, fuck France.
I think we have a little.
Fuck the French.
Yeah, there we go.
So I detest the French. I detest what they stand for. I think that they're peace and loving and happiness and unshaved armpits and berets and the little pencil mustaches. I don't know. Everybody was talking like this was the biggest tragedy of the week. And this is the thing that pisses me off. Here, now we go. Now you can see the tequila's kicking in.
Hold on, is Brian
this
telling
is what
it like
really
it
pissed
is?
Me off. I'm about to tell it like it is.
All right.
But this is what really bothered me, is the fact that literally within 12 hours of this thing burning, and it didn't burn completely. Thankfully, they saved some of it. And instead of accepting that this was just a moment in history that damaged an important building to these people, it's immediately, I think the last number I saw was about $960 million has been pledged by France billionaires and luxury brands to somehow restore this building when the church has more than enough money to pay off all the children that were molested by priests earlier on in their lives. They're paying off billions and billions of dollars.
I mean, can I throw some numbers at you?
Feel free.
I mean, it's been said that the Vatican holds 1 metric ton of gold. They've paid over $1 billion in settlements for child molestation cases. They hold $10 billion in assets. Yes, the Catholic Church is one of the richest entities on the planet, and everybody's lining up to give them money for this place.
Meanwhile, there are people that are starving. There are people that are dying. There are diseases that are not being cured. And all this money could go to such better causes than to rebuild a building that was made out of wood.
Well, I mean, you can look at just, the White House pledged their aid as well. But you can look just in this country. It's been 5 years, 1,825 days since the people of Flint, Michigan had clean water. It's been more than 18 months since Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico, destroying much of the infrastructure. And most of that territory is still without adequate power. And then even just recently, you had the three black churches in Louisiana that were burned down in an apparent hate crime that someone has been arrested and charged for. I guess on a positive note is those three churches have seen a significant uptick in donations from people because, the money being thrown at the Notre Dame Cathedral has really brought to light some of these issues in America that have not been handled properly. But I feel your pain.
It's just something that is I think this is something that it struck me because I am a fan of history. I do follow it. And I believe that one of the things that history has taught us is that, you can't hold on to everything, that things come, things go, nothing is permanent. And maybe it was Buddha that taught me that. Maybe that wasn't history. Maybe it was the time I spent trying to become a Buddhist back in, I think that was what, 92 to 93.
Around that time, yes.
I shaved my head and I walked around wearing orange robes. I thought I was becoming a Buddhist. Little did I know. But it was just the fact that there's nothing permanent. For whatever reason, the energy of this world had that building burned. Accept it. Let's embrace it. Maybe embrace the new form that it has taken. Maybe we should remember the day that it burned and we lost the spire. Why do we have to put it back and try and, band-aid it together? And it just bothers me that this is how we're going to handle the situation. Is the fact that all these frogs that instead of putting this money towards people that genuinely that it's affecting people. There are people dying right now because they don't have enough food or clean water. And instead, Louis Vuitton are sitting there on their millions and millions of dollars. But because a building burns down, they're going to be like, oh, let us throw some money over here. Have $100 million.
And unfortunately, also the right wing has allowed this to spawn additional conspiracy theories stating that Muslims, extremists are probably responsible for the fire. Some fake news out there has tweeted that certain Congress people tweeted support for the cathedral burning down. I mean, it's amazing how quickly social media and the internet can take something like this and twist it and just run with it and make it even more horrible than it already is.
The way, to quote a man much better than myself, DMX, he once said, don't get it twisted.
Did he say anything else? That was all he said. All right.
Oh, he said a bunch of other things. I mean, he also said, stop, drop, open up shop.
All right.
Whoa. Oh.
We'll have you do some of
my Rough Riders roll.
Maybe on our one-year anniversary, you can do some DMX. The man said a lot of things. For us.
Oh, would you like me to?
I mean, if you want to practice
out. Fucking awesome.
So coming back over to this country, there was quite the saga out in Denver, Colorado today as we approach the 20th anniversary of the attack at Columbine High School, which I believe that anniversary is this Saturday. Apparently, there was an 18-year-old woman that had an infatuation with the massacre. She had flown across the country to Colorado, and that they had actually closed hundreds of schools as a precaution as they searched for. The woman's name was Sol Pays. I believe is how you pronounce it.
I think so.
Bought a plane ticket in Florida, flew out there, bought a gun, bought ammunition, but I guess found out that the authorities were on to her, ended up in the mountains in Denver, and ended her life with a gunshot wound to the head, apparently. I mean, this is craziness, to say the least.
Back up. What's the craziness here? What's the craziness?
The craziness that someone could be that infatuated with a horrific event like the Columbine shooting that literally happened before she was born, that she was going to try and recreate it on its 20th anniversary.
But aren't there people right now in Colorado with AK-47s and thousands of bullets, and we're not concerned about them?
I mean, I don't know. Are they making threats like this person did?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're talking about taking out the congresswoman from Minnesota.
Well, I mean, Omar. She is getting a ton of death threats, especially since Donald Trump put whatever that nonsense was up on his Twitter feed.
All that I'm saying is that I find it ludicrous that this that our media is such has reached such a level of fear mongering that an 18-year-old child who sits there and says, "Oh yeah, I want to shoot up a school," literally becomes the top news story in the entire country.
Well, I mean, does her age matter? I mean, how old was the kid that shot up the school in Florida? I mean, he was a teenager.
Oh, he was 42.
As well.
He was 42.
The kid in Florida?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He was like 19.
42.
40. You're on drugs.
You're thinking of the wrong school shooting.
I'm sorry. Well, there's too many of them to keep track of.
Apparently so. Yes. Maybe. You know what? You're right. Her age doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that we've got we have too many unreasonable guns that are out there in the hands of the public.
Oh, no question.
And ultimately, I just don't think that this story warrants the entire country to go into lockdown mode.
Well, but would you say that it was justified that the schools in and around Columbine went into lockdown mode?
Sure, right. Okay. So this is what I'm getting at. Is that, do I think that it was a prudent move closing down that school, knowing that she had moved, that she had traveled to Colorado and had purchased guns and ammunition? Do I think it was prudent to close down schools? Yes. You, on the other hand, living in Philadelphia, did you need to be involved in this story in any way?
I don't know that I was involved, but I was interested in the story.
You were interested. You were following it.
Yes.
It made you think of your own neighbors, made you think of your children on their going off to school every morning on the little yellow bus, you know, saying hello, saying goodbye to Sue and Ron Jr. And you thought to yourself, what about my kids? Are they going to be safe today?
Well, thankfully, I don't have any that I know of. But
you've got eight little ones running around your house right now as we speak.
Well, those ones are safe, no doubt about it.
There you go. I don't think that was a top news story, and I think it's more of a symptom of our the news media in 2019, which is just literally how can we scare the living shit out of Americans.
All right. You're entitled to your opinion. I know people don't like it when we fight, so.
I don't think we're fighting right now.
We're just
I believe I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent. I think I'm going a little off the deep end.
I think the tequila's really taking hold.
No, I don't think so. No? It's just the fear mongering in this country is something that has really consistently bothers me. The fact that when you watch the news, and I do like watching the news, I genuinely do.
All right.
And even the news that's not left-based or right-based, but you watch your local news, it's literally fires, armed robberies, shootings. And then at the 18-minute mark, it's, okay, let's go over to Mary with the traffic, and then we're going to go to Bill with sports, and then we're going to do another story about some teenager that was killed in a car crash. It literally is just everything that's wrong. It's fucking up with our national psyche.
Well, it's kind of like you've talked about before with this 24-hour news cycle that we've become accustomed to. You know, all these channels are just used to coming up with whatever content is necessary, and when they get something that they think is going to grab ratings, they're just gonna pound away at it for as long as it goes. And I'm sure this woman in Columbine it'll be forgotten about after today because she's dead now.
I already forgot about it. Now here's the question to you.
All right.
Do you believe, and obviously there's no evidence, there's no inkling any other way, do you think they killed her and are going to play it off as a suicide, or do you think she actually killed herself?
I'm going to go that she probably killed herself. Because she,
and why would she go all the way to Colorado and just kill herself at a fucking campground?
Well, you know, I mean, she clearly doesn't seem to be the most stable person on the planet. But
false. She's a stable genius.
But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. I don't think so.
It's just ludicrous. It's ludicrous that this is something that you and I are talking about.
Well, then we'll move on to something even more ludicrous.
What are we going to get to?
We're going out to the poor kid at Mall of America that a stranger grabbed and threw over a third floor balcony. Horrible stuff. The kid is still in intensive care with life-threatening injuries. They feel that he will survive, but he's obviously got a lot of surgeries ahead of him. They have arrested 24-year-old Emmanuel Deshaun Aranda, who apparently had quite a lengthy arrest record, had been banned from the mall before.
He's assaulted people in that mall multiple times, got banned from it. Yep. And here's a story where I was at first cynical and did not pay close enough attention to it. And I believe I may have made some comments that offended my sister this past weekend on the story. I'm not going to rehash it because what's done is done, and some apologies were made the following day. But my point being now is that I read an article about this. This is truly a fucking tragic story.
It is.
Because I actually, when I first heard about it, I thought that it was a guy who threw his own kid. Like, and I'm not saying that makes it any better or worse. There are shades of wrongness here.
Okay.
Some are worse than others. Let's just be honest here. But it literally was this mother and father walking the mall with their little kid. How old's the kid again?
Five, Landon.
So they're walking the mall with their little 5-year-old son, and you know maybe they're going to Auntie Annie's or whatever the pretzel place is called. They're going to go to Lids and buy the kid a baseball cap. Maybe the father is going to get a new phone case at one of those kiosks in the middle of the mall that never seems to do any business but never seems to go anywhere. Anyway, so this guy approaches his family, grabs the kid, and tosses him off of a third floor walkway. The kid falls two stories, comes down flat on the ground, and is had life-threatening injuries. I mean, they think he's going to pull through, but I mean, Jesus Christ! Even cynical me, this story had me fucked up for when I think about it. But there is a GoFundMe right now that if you are feeling a little generous, and here's something that's not going to go towards covering the legal bills of pedophile priests, or to take a building that's made out of completely wood and throw some spackle on it. There, if you go to GoFundMe.com/LandonPrayers, LandonPrayers, you can kick some money. They're looking at over $1 million in medical bills, and so far,
as of right now,
over 23,000 people have contributed. They're more than 80% on the way. Heck, money cannot put a price on the pain that family has gone through. But Jesus Christ, if there's something that we can do to help out. Ron, I think I'm going to make a donation this week.
Really? That is impressive. Yeah, apparently this guy Emmanuel would go to the mall, try and pick up women. Shockingly, women would turn him down, and he was upset. And he said, he was just going around looking to kill someone, thought about attacking an adult, saw the kid, just decided to pick up this kid and harm him. So hopefully that piece of garbage will be going to jail for a very long time.
Have you ever picked up somebody at the mall?
I have really never picked up anyone anywhere. That has never really been a skill of mine.
Yeah, I don't think I got that in me.
I don't have game. I don't have a rap, as the kids would say.
I think I could if I had enough tequila in me, but the problem is the fact that I don't know that I wouldn't go into full-fledged blackout asshole mode within, like, from between drink 4 and 5 and kill any chances I might have had.
See, I've always looked at myself as more of an acquired taste. Like, you got to spend some time around me. Otherwise,
and you are some taste. I mean,
well, thank you.
You taste damn good.
Oh, you're too much. You're too kind, my friend.
Do you know what doesn't taste good right now?
What's that?
Gloria Engel. Excuse me, I fucked that up. It's Georgina Engel.
Georgia Engel.
For all of the, Georgia?
Georgia Engel.
I was 0 for 2.
You totally messed that
fuck,
up.
The tequila really did kick in. Georgia Bright Engel, TV star, starred on the Mary Tyler Moore Show from 1972 to 1977. She was also, she played Pat McDougal on Everybody Loves Raymond. But the show that I most am familiar with is her early work in the musical Gotta Dance, which premiered at the Bank of America Theater in Chicago in December of 2015.
Really?
No, I never saw that. I just felt like fucking with you. No, but she had a quite an expansive career. Unfortunately, she passed away this week. If you see her picture, look her up. Georgia Engel, E-N-G-E-L, had one of the weirdest voices known to mankind.
Very soft-spoken.
Yes. She played Georgette Franklin on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and she was the girlfriend and wife of TV newsman Ted Baxter on that show. I wonder if her Christian Science faith prevented her from living this time around.
Well, apparently, a little side note is the reason that they have not announced the cause of death as of yet is just for that very fact. Is there, you know, she would not go to doctors being a Christian Scientist, so they were not sure what exactly has caused her death. They will need to conduct an autopsy for that. Because initially, listen, I was like, 70 seems a little bit young, but when they said Christian Scientist, I'm like, actually kind of old for a Christian Scientist, since they don't really like the medical profession.
Well, I will say that, you know, she lived to 70, so maybe the Christian Science got her that far. Who can complain?
I always thought she was a lot older than that, personally. Because she started at a very young age, and, you know, so. But we'll miss you, Georgia.
Yeah, but I think we're starting to hit that golden period of time where people are dying, and your first response is, didn't even know they were still alive.
For some of them, that's true, yes.
Yeah, and she is definitely in that category. Speaking of which, and this is just just an incredible coincidence, but I thought that Alan Garcia was alive.
And apparently after today...
Not anymore.
Really, what happened?
He was the former president of Peru. Served a great term, literally was the leader of a country. Unfortunately, it was a slight little corruption probe that was being conducted recently by current President Martinez Vizcarra. And basically, the probe found that there was a pretty good likelihood that the former president, Alan Garcia, had accepted a couple bribes, counting it more than $100,000 from a Brazilian conglomerate disguised as a payment to speak at a conference. So when the cops were knocking on his door earlier today to see if he would be willing to go down to the station and answer some questions, well, Alan Garcia had a couple thoughts that maybe this isn't the best idea for me, and decided that what he wanted to do was shoot himself in the head. He died at Jose Casaramiro Ulua Hospital in Peru's capital, which we all know, Lima.
All right. I would say that is usually a sign that you're guilty.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Lastly, I want to give a shout out. Now, this is something that you're only going to come across on the New York Post.
What's that?
I'm going to give a shout out to California resident Coral Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E. She pleaded guilty to 21 sex-related charges today, including unlawful sexual intercourse, oral copulation, and contacting a minor for sex, after she pled guilty to having sex with both of her daughter's boyfriends.
Was that wrong? Should she not have done that?
She should not have done that, considering she's 41. So let's hope she goes to jail for a good period of time. But thanks to the New York Times for making the story as the New York Post for making the story as salacious as possible. The New York Times wouldn't touch this show.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Speaking of dying, we've got a couple people dying for the gram this week. First one, Fordham University co-ed Sydney Monfries, who fell from the campus's landmark clock tower on Sunday morning, plummeted about 40 feet. She was on life support for a while, but passed away shortly after her parents arrived. And then going out to, where was this, in Hawksbill Crag, a hiking destination near Jasper, Arkansas. 20-year-old college student died when she tumbled 100 feet off a cliff while posing for a photo. She had been an environmental science major who had been on a hiking trip with college friends at the time of her accident. So don't take pictures in dangerous locations. I would think that should be pretty well known by this point, but every now and then you have to have a couple instances like this that just reinforce that.
But I think this is a perfect example of Darwinism.
No doubt about it.
If you have reached the point where taking a photograph of for social media in which you are endangering your own welfare, if you're willing to if your priorities are in that order, I think that life has every right to come by and snatch you up and take you off to the next dimension.
That's why I love you. You're not afraid to say what you're thinking.
Sorry. No, I tell it like it is.
All right.
What else? What do we have going on this coming week? Anything?
I don't think we do this upcoming week. We've got, obviously, in a few weeks, we've got the Life of Agony concert at Broken Goblet Brewing at their new location in Pennsylvania. Who knows where else we may show up? You can never tell. How will you be spending this holiday weekend, Brian?
I always like to recreate the Passion of the Christ in my own apartment.
Okay.
Historically, what I like to do is I wake up in the morning on Easter Sunday. I put on my own crown of thorns, or what I like to refer to as a Yankee ball cap. I like to then carry my cross, which in this household, I use a cup of coffee, which, because it's Easter, I go a little fancy. I put a little Bailey's in it. I then walk very slowly from my kitchen into the living room, meanwhile being whipped by Roman soldiers. But in my case, it's my father asking me random questions, rapid fire, because he needs somebody to talk to. So he asks me lots of questions as I slowly walk to the couch with my cup of coffee.
Well, that sounds... That sounds like a interesting weekend. I am just going to make a ham.
All right. You mean you're a ham, so how can you make one?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Are we hosting family? Is this just something for you and the missus? What are we talking about?
I host the wife's family, so we'll have anywhere from 15 to 20 people over. It'll just be a fun-filled day of frivolity and jelly beans and ham and drinking.
All right, there you go. I like it.
All right. So I guess that's about all we have for this week. Thank you all for joining in, Brian.
Don't forget, people, follow us on Twitter, Ron Brian Podcast. Follow us on Instagram, Ron Brian Podcast. Go to our website, Ron and Brian Podcast. Go to our Facebook page, join our Facebook group. We are on all forms of social media. I'm working on creating a TikTok page up until recently, but then I realized, I read earlier today, that the white nationalists are fleeing to TikTok because that's their space, because they haven't been kicked off of that yet. So we will not be joining TikTok. But we've got all forms of social media. Follow us. Ron's killing the game over on Twitter. I'm killing it on the Instagram. Lots of shirtless photos of myself. as I work out. So if you're interested in that, check us
out.
You should
be. You should really be checking that out.
Well, I'm telling you something. After the last few months of working out, I'm really starting to see the muscle definition.
I mean, you're pretty close to a six pack.
Listen, I'm at a 4, and you know you can kind of see it, but it could also be a tumor. Not really sure what's going on at the bottom. So I might have a 4-pack with you know a 2 for a tumor. You never know. You never know, people. Anyway, thank you for listening. We love you. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating or 1, depending on whichever one you're feeling at that moment. Tell your friends and be good to each other.
At the end of the day, just be good to each other. Don't throw anybody off the balconies. And we'll share the link for the GoFundMe on our Facebook page as well, in case you're interested in donating for Landon. All right, everybody, we will catch you next week. Brian, sir, love you.
Love you more.
All right, we out.